Hey, everybody, this is Sully Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're actually going to talk about, I think, a company that both Sully and I are big fans of. The company Zoom.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Right? We want you to do your best.
I'm sure many of you listening are also big fans of the company. Many of you might know I do these long kind of write-ups about companies just because I feel like a historian sometimes, and I like really documenting kind of the history of a company and give my take on it. And the company I did a little bit ago was Zoom, and it's a blog post. It's on the FYI blog. It's at usefyi.com/Zoom, ZOOM-history. And you'll be able to get to it, and you'll read, I don't know how many words it is, probably like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 words or something like that about Zoom if you're interested. But you can also listen to us now as we talk about Zoom. You know, one of the most interesting things about the company to me is that they went into an existing category and actually set the bar on something very basic, which is reliability. Mm-hmm. And it's really reliability with this idea of video conferencing and being able to see people on video and even the audio part of it. Now, ironically or not, we're also on Zoom right now as we're recording this.
That's very true. Now, this is the funny thing. When Zoom first launched, or when I first got first became aware of them, I remember, and this is, there's an important lesson in this, I remember thinking, who wants to go into the video conferencing or web conferencing space now, right?
Right.
There was both, like, although I knew that all the web conferencing solutions sucked, it was not a single one that was out there that I thought was awesome or that I knew anybody else thinking is awesome. Although I knew all that, there was still something inside of me that went, this is a crowded and established market. There's a few winners. Who would want to get into this right now? And then I also remember checking out Zoom, and in the first impression, now I'm probably not, you know, as sophisticated or as smart at like evaluating products on day one. But when I looked at it, it was not immediately intuitively clear to me why this is amazing. Like I was searching for something that stood out, but what Zoom did was very subtle, right? It was not, the interface was not different. They didn't do anything that was like flashy, right? And like in your face, wow, they're innovating because they're doing web conferencing with blah. They changed. No, it was like basic web conferencing. But from the start, you realize that it kind of just works. And then when you used it a couple of times, you're like, this actually works every time. I've had 5 web conferencing calls and none of them had issues. Then you had to start using it a little bit to start realizing this is actually really good. And then you started noticing little details that it just seemed like the team behind it was a bit more thoughtful. And although it was a simple product when they started, simple from a usability point of view, it seemed to have answers to some problems that were there for years and years and years that no other competitor on the technology side of things could solve. So that was kind of my experience with Zoom early on, was like, huh? Why would you want to go into that market? And then, this seems too simple. What's different about it? And then, oh, this just works always. Well, shit, let's just use this forever, right? And we never look back. We use Zoom extensively within the company. We use Zoom extensively as a sales tool within, you know, talking to our prospects and our customers. And we obviously use Zoom extensively on this podcast to do the recordings between Heaton and I. So, but that's my perspective, which is very far removed. I didn't do the research. I didn't do the detailed work that you did. What am I missing? What are the things that are not as obvious that they did? Or what was your analysis in the piece of like the details that made Zoom become such an amazing company in a space that when they entered it was pretty established already?
Yeah. So the founder, Eric, had worked at WebEx. And he had worked at WebEx as a engineer. And the thing is, like, he was part of the team that built WebEx. And actually, you know, that team, that company ended up being sold to Cisco. And basically, Cisco wasn't improving the product. And so I think, like, Eric just had an itch to scratch. And it was an itch about, hey, this product's not being improved. It needs to be improved. And he quit and went after it and decided to work on improving it. And this is why we end up with this sort of game-changing product in a very crowded sort of an early kind of online market of web conferencing. It's amazing. I mean, when you look at the kind of old homepage, it was literally cloud HD video meetings. They had an iPhone on that homepage. Mm-hmm. And literally it said start video meeting, and it was free for iPad, iPhone, Windows, and Mac. So that was it. It was like just a very simple value proposition early on. And you know what? The biggest thing is what you just said, which is compared to any other alternative, it just works. And it works better. And what I learned as I started digging in and it has become a little more common knowledge is like they spent a lot of time, I think the first couple of years, and it might have even been pre-launch, perfecting the technology and building a bunch of proprietary technology to make sure that the product worked really, really well, better than the competitors. So what I think is when he said they weren't improving it and I need to come out and do that is basically reliability, something really fundamental. And so that was the key. The key was the fact that they spent all their effort solving the big problem that everyone had with all the video conferencing products that came before Zoom.
That's crazy.
And that is simple. Reliability. Yeah. Make sure it just works.
See, the interesting, one funny note is that when you said, we talked about WebEx, I thought there's some listeners right now that don't even know WebEx. I've never heard of it, right? Because it's kind of a younger generation of startup founders that have just lived with Zoom forever or with whatever was, you know, maybe they were using Skype or something else more heavily. That's another thing that I noticed. A lot of like personal use was Skype, and then Zoom really killed a lot of that as well. But WebEx used to be the game in town. It used to be the dominant web conferencing tool and everybody hated it, but it was like the most dominant player in town. And then I remember Adobe came into that market heavily with the rise of Flash, and they did like a Flash-based web conferencing thing. And then there was some Indian startup that did like an open source-based web conferencing thing that Salesforce ended up buying and then never doing anything with. And so many others, BlueJeans, I think is a newer player that's still successful and around, but I'm not sure. So many players, but Zoom, like, I wonder how hard it was for them to pitch people, oh, we're going to do web conferencing. Okay, what's different about it? It's just going to work. Okay, but what's different about it? How are we going to kill all the competition that's already hundreds of millions in revenue and has massive sales teams? It's just going to work.
That's going to work.
But it doesn't. Why does it matter? What is the marketing going to be? What is the virality? How is the distribution? Like, we're not just going to kill all these other solutions, even when they suck. They have all these advantages in terms of sales and distribution and marketing and this, that, and the other. What are we going to do? Well, ours is just going to work. And then, like, how difficult was it to convince investors and other people to join and work for years, as you said, pre-launch on building the stuff to make it just work? There's a big lesson in here, but I am amazed that they were able to pull this off.
It's insane. And the thing is, like, when you look at this business of Zoom, there's one key advantage that it has that the other folks weren't able to figure out, which is their R&D cost is a lot lower than any other company in the market. And it's probably a lot lower than any other SaaS company kind of that's gone public in recent years. And the reason for that is that the R&D happens in China, and it has since the early days.
What?
And the tech they needed to build was built there. And that, I think, gives them a massive capital advantage where it's just cheaper for them to build their product. And they can build, apparently they can build faster too. Because like you walk into conference rooms now and it's powered by Zoom.
Yeah.
And there's some hardware and stuff like that. It's not like Zoom is just software online, even though that's what most of us see it as. And so this is a really fascinating thing because the business is basically predicated on really good technology that just works. And also that the cost for them to build that technology is much lower than most companies. So that combination is really the key. That's really the key to the whole business, is the fact that they can build product cheaper than anybody else.
Incredible. I mean, it's one of Zoom is one of my favorite companies of the past decade, especially in the B2B world. Hit people up again with the URL for the blog post if they want to go even more in depth on how Zoom became the best web conference and product in a decade.
Yeah, it's usefyi.com/zoom-history, and you'll see it.
Beautiful. And
it's,
then what?
No, I'm just going to say, yeah, it's there. It's long. Read
and
it.
Definitely read it. And then one thing in kind of close-related news. So I mentioned, you know, Close, my company and my team, we're big fans of Zoom. We use Zoom extensively in our sales process. And we know that, you know, screen sharing and web conferencing and video conferencing is becoming a bigger and bigger part of the sales process. But up until now, it was very disconnected from the CRM world. So you use your CRM, and then when you wanted to have a screen share, an online demo, or a video call with prospects, that information that happened in Zoom was completely disconnected from all the other information you had in your CRM. We wanted to change that. So we just launched the tightest and the best integration with Zoom that any CRM in the world has, which basically allows you to, within the CRM, launch a Zoom room, have a video call, or have a demo, and all the information of that demo is automatically tracked and put into the CRM. So you have statistics on how many demos you've given, what the show rate is. You can watch the recordings of those demos. You can get all the information around any kind of communication that happens within Zoom natively in your CRM without doing any manual data entry. So if you use Zoom extensively in a sales context, you might want to check out our recent integration, check out close.com. All right, that's it from us for this episode. Check out the article, check out Close and our integration with Zoom, and big fans of Zoom and what they've done in the past. There's a lot of lessons to be learned here that are very subtle when it comes to entrepreneurships and startups. So definitely a company to watch and learn from. That's it from us for this episode. We'll hear you very soon.
See ya.